Hey, everybody. Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm Katie Mox, and coming up on today's show, we'll take a look at golf. The FedEx playoffs are underway, so we'll talk about what we've seen so far. And then we're going to talk some tennis. You got Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer, who will be remembered as the greatest of all time as we preview the U.S. Open. And of course, I will give you my Mox locks. But first, let's start things off here with my Mox thought of the day. We have a couple of them. So we're inching closer to the NFL season, and at Caesars Sportsbook, Tua has received more bets to win MVP than Mahomes, Rodgers, Prescott, and even Kyler Murray. So who's a good long shot pick for MVP? I'm going to do what I did earlier this season, and I'm still going to stick with Jonathan Taylor. Because if you're going to go for a long shot, I feel like you might as well go somewhere out of the QBs. And look, last year he led the NFL with 18 touchdowns, and he ran for 1,811 yards. He also led the NFL in red zone touches at 92. He had 42 carries within the 10-yard line, and they've upgraded their quarterback to Matt Ryan. And I read a stat that last year, Matt Ryan, no quarterback had targeted running backs more than Matt Ryan did. I think it's a good spot for Jonathan Taylor. So I'm going to take him as my long shot to win the MVP. Next up, let's talk about this Ravens preseason streak. They have now won 21 straight preseason games. So should you put your money on them in the preseason? My answer to that is yes, absolutely. If it's not broke, don't fix it. John Harbaugh knows how to win in the preseason, so I'm going to go for 22 with our next game.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. All right, well, let's welcome in our guest for the day, Andrew Dubs Anderson, who I like to call Dubsy. Dubsy, thanks for coming on. Happy Friday.
What up, Marks? Happy Friday. The weekend is here. Get the party started. Mr. Dubsy, Mr. Double Your Money, the caddy who ain't your daddy. Some say the Swiss Army knife of sports betting. But we'll just stick with Dubsy, Marks, and it's been a big week. Your boy was over in Memphis for the golf. I'm walking in Memphis. What a singing voice on your boy. But we're back in winners. Plenty going on in the golf world. I can't wait to break it all down with you here today.
I can't wait for you to break it all down as well. And I have to say, I love the shirt that you're wearing today. Although on your podcast, I did see you were shirtless earlier this week. I'm slightly disappointed.
You know, Mox, when you do something and you have instant regret. Now, look, to put in perspective, the guys were setting me up for the walk-off. All right, Dubsy, you know, we'll let you get back out to the PGA Tour event. So I'm like, okay, we'll do something wacky. I get the shirt off, and then they let me sit there for like 30 seconds talking about the golf tour. I'm like, no, don't do that. And then they shared the life out of it on social media. No one wants to see that. Dubsy hasn't been in the gym in a minute. The dad bod, I'm not even a dad. I've got the little dogs chirping in the background. Maybe that counts. But what do we learn from that, Mox? Dubsy needs to get back in the gym. Too many brouhahas.
Well, I will say the dad bods are underrated. Women like dad yeah. bods more than I think men think they do. But I do appreciate the bright color set. I feel like we've got some synergy here together in our 80s vibes.
But that's what we're all about, Mox. We're having a good time. We're vibrant. It's Friday. The weekend's here. Why would you not be excited? We're back in winners on the punt. And when I say winners, we're not back in losers. We're not back in duds. This is what gets me going. I know it gets you going as well, Mox. I know the record. You've been on here with Moxie Betts. I've been cashing tickets with you guys, some of the lean. So let's keep it lit. That's what it's all about. The weekend started. It's happy hour somewhere. Let's go.
Yes, it is 5 o'clock somewhere. That is true. So let's start things off with where you just were. So the FedEx playoffs are underway in Tennessee. Who do you like for the FedEx St. Jude's Championship?
Look, Mox, I know we're on a virtual screen, but you've got a Pat Dubsy on the back here, right? The beauty of the golf betting. Now, this is what's great about golf. You can get a realistic winner who's at 110, 120 to 1, and they have a very good chance if I like them on that certain golf course. Now, of course, there's a lot of variables that come into play. We've got 150 horses in every single race, but a guy I met with earlier this week, and he's in line to be one of the rookies of the year on the PGA Tour, Sahith Theegala. Now, in the golf betting, what do we look for? We look at course history. How have they played the last few years on this golf course? How have they played the last 3 or 4 weeks coming into the event? That tells me forms there. I walk the golf course. Okay, it's a longer track, 72 yards, TPC Southwind. I'm with Sir Heath. I know he's caddy Carl Smith. I'm watching him practice. I'm going, this kid is absolutely dialed in. I'm talking to him. Sir Heath, what do you like about the golf course? He goes, something about it absolutely suits my eye. I love this golf course. Form, loves the golf course. The track suits him at 110 to 1, and he's now top of the leaderboard there at the FedEx St. Jude. 110 to 1, Mox. Your boy's going to the Bahamas on Sunday night if Sahith Theegala comes into town with this one. But just to put in perspective, it is the FedEx Cup playoffs. We got 3 weeks of playoffs. A lot of people, not Dubsy, say it is the best playoffs amongst all sports. Yes, the NFL. Ooh. Yes, the NBA, MLB World Series, the PGA Tour playoffs. It's an almighty task to try and get it done. For the next 3 weeks, we've got three very big events. The BMW next week, then the Tour Championship, the Final 30. And don't even get me started, everything going on in the golf world. We're becoming a mainstream sport, if you will, Mox. People say it's niche. It's just golf. You go and play with a bunch of 80-year-olds at the local country club. Not the case. And it's become very prominent in the sports betting world. Plenty of markets, plenty of good young personalities to get behind. So you know your boy's fired up for this one.
You are fired up, and you're getting me fired up, and I'm rarely fired up for golf, Dubsy.
How dare you?
I know. How dare you? I dabble in golf. I play a little golf. I'm not very good, but I haven't been as dialed in on watching it. But of course, you know, anytime Tiger is playing, I like to tune in for that. So you just said this is the most exciting playoff in all of sports. So what are some storylines that we should be looking at as spectators and bettors as well for the FedEx?
Yeah, so I guess golf in general, it's been a huge year for us. The last couple of years, to be honest, because the whole pandemic thing goes down. Everyone's like, I want to get out of the house. I want to go play golf. Now the sports books are really getting behind it. And it's not just like who's going to win the tournament. There's so many great different markets offered up. Round one leaders, heads up matchups. Maybe Dubs is going to beat Katie Mox in the first 9 holes. So you can absolutely bet on everything. But I guess the big talking point has been the whole live golf series coming from left field. I mean, this time last year, I turn it back, the biggest issue we had in golf was Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau trying to measure each other's biceps out on the golf course, and fans yelling, Brooksy! And the PGA Tour was like, this is golf. We cannot have something like this. Here comes the Live Golf Series. The money coming from a questionable source, from some Saudi fund headlined by Greg Norman, the shark. You know, Dubsy's Aussie countryman, if you will. Now, a few months ago, Mox, I said, it hasn't got the legs. The PGA Tour, it's always had a monopoly over the sport of golf. It's been unrivaled for the last 10 years. Live Golf start throwing some big money, $200 million at Phil Mickelson, $125 million at Dustin Johnson. Bryson's got $100 million. So to get that thing off the ground, they needed eyeballs, and that's exactly what they went after. The Live Series is now 3 events in, and the PGA Tour, they're saying, well, we don't want those golfers coming back. They're playing for big money, which they get paid, you know, just for showing up. And now, as we saw in the courts this week, 3 of the golfers from the Live Series tried to file a temporary restraining order to say, we should still be allowed to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Now, it's not $150 million, but it's $18 million for the Tour Championship. That's a big chunk of change. But now the golfers on the PGA Tour are saying, well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It was made very clear, if you want to go to Live Golf and play exhibition golf, shorter schedule, get the bag from wherever it's coming from. That's good. You go and do that. But now you can't come back and take away our ruining opportunities, taking away some of the positions from the younger guys trying to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs. So for me, I'm just a golf degenerate, punting degenerate, Mox. I'm not for or against one or the other, but I do think once you go to the LIV Series, you stay there and do your thing. The guys on the PGA Tour, this is still going to be the pinnacle in our sport, the best of the best, because this is where the pathways are. They come up from the Korn Ferry Tour. They've got the Champions Tour once they're done here. For LIV Golf, there's still a lot of unknowns, but it's not going away anytime soon. They got a five-year plan. Again, it looks a little different. They're having fun on the golf course. There's no cuts, smaller fields. Greg Norman, I mean, full credit to him to get this thing up and running. But I guess the big talking point coming from the golf course, I mean, the Shark. That's how Dubsy's going to be looking when he's 67 years of age, Mox. He's an absolute house. But he's always had this beef against the PGA Tour. He tried to do a similar thing back in the 90s when, you know, he was a very good golfer. He was the world number one for the longest amount of time after Tiger Woods. But they always did him dirty. And that's what Shark always understood anyway. But the big talk coming from the media center this week was Cameron Smith. When we say silence is deafening, he was asked a bunch of questions. Are you going to LIV Golf? You're going to go? He goes, I don't want to talk about it. So ultimately, that tells us, yes, he's going, or he would have just said, no, I'm all about the PGA Tour. And that is going to be the first big coup for me. He is the first golfer in form, your second best golfer in the world right now, a recent winner at the Open Championship, a winner at the Players' Championship, the fifth major early in the year. Now he's going to say, I'm going to go to LIV Golf for $100 million after the FedEx Cup Players. And what can the tour do? Can they ban him because they think he's going to go? No, not until it's official. So interesting times indeed. 12 months ago, it was Brooksy and Bryson in the gym. And here we are now, LIV Golf taking on the PGA Tour. Murky waters indeed, Mox.
Well, one, you could have been in that bicep match with the way that you are on your podcast.
Keep going, Mox.
I'm never letting you live this down.
Your boy looking thicker than a Snickers.
Look, well, and look, we had a sports lawyer actually on last Friday, Dan Lastin. He was talking about this case from a legal perspective, and he seems to think that the golfers who have joined LIV have a really good chance, and that the PGA might not end up on the right side of this after banning them from competing. How do you see this being resolved? I know you're not really taking a side, although you are a traditionalist and a degenerate all mixed in one. How do you see this being resolved? Do you think that LIV comes out victorious and these players are going to be able to play both? Or do you think the PGA kind of keeps their stronghold?
Well, look, Dubsy's like a shopping trolley that you get from Trader Joe's with a rock in one of the front wheels, Mox. I'm all over the shop. Every day I change my opinion on the matter. But I do tend to agree the golfers have a very good chance from LIV coming back to the PGA Tour. And when it gets to courts, and we know it was filed through there in Northern California, a court which looked very favorably across the name, image, likeness deal for the player athletes. So maybe they look towards the players again here. But what stands out for me is with LIV Golf, they've got blatant evidence that the PGA Tour has put a lot of pressure on some of these other governing bodies in the major championships. Now, for the people at home, they say, well, the PGA Tour, don't they run the majors? Can't they just say no, don't let them come for those four big events? No, it's not the case. They're ran by their own independent body. You know, the Masters is run by Augusta National, the Royal and Ancient over there for the Open Championship. So the PGA Tour have been blatant in the pressure they've put on these other governing bodies, and that is going against fair competition, antitrust, if you will. So that's not going to look good in the PGA Tour. I mean, we had Davis Love come out, who's the captain of the President's Cup team, 2 weeks ago saying, okay, if the LIV golfers are going to be allowed to play in a major, we just won't show up. We're going to boycott the majors. Ooh, that's putting a lot of pressure on the major championships. That is blatant. You cannot do that. So I totally agree. I think the golfers eventually are going to have a good chance to play on both tours. And when I look at it from the player's perspective, who's got the moral compass to say, don't give me $100 million now, and then the guys that do jump ship are going to be allowed to come back in 2 years and play both tours? Anyone would absolutely take it. 99%, unless you're, I don't know, maybe you've got high morals. Dubsy doesn't. I would take the bag. I would absolutely sell out in a heartbeat. So I think it's going to go on for another 2-3 years. It's not going to be pretty. And once it does start, you know, going through the courts for an extended amount of time, the PGA Tour, they draw their funds from the pension fund, which is now going to start hurting the hip pocket of some of the PGA Tour golfers. Ooh. So out there on the golf course, it's going to get messy. And for the three golfers who wanted to come play in Memphis this week from the LIV Series, why would you want to show up? Can you imagine how awkward it would be in the locker room. Surprise! Yeah. I'm back, boys, from the LIV Golf League. I'm going to try and win a couple of bucks here as well. Yeah. Would not have been well received. I heard some interesting stories out the golf course this week. I won't get into it, but some of the players who've been ratted out by the media making snake noises towards the media because they're ratting them out. So it's getting very immature out in the golf course. But hey, Dubsy's immature. This is what gets me going. I love the drama, Mox. That's why I'm addicted to the Kardashians. I can't stop watching the drama. And that's the PGA Tour right now.
The PGA Tour is the Kardashians. I actually love that. Maybe that will get me to watch it a little bit more. But this is supposed to be a gentleman's game, and they're hissing at media.
That is very interesting.
All right, so let's talk from a betting perspective and futures here. What does this do to the futures market? Because we've got some that left and are banned and trying to get back in. We've got some that might leave after this tournament, after this championship. What are we to do as bettors?
It's a tough one, Mox. Obviously, the books are going to know who's pegging it up in the field. I'd stay away from any LIV golfers because the biggest betting events on the golf schedule are going to be the major championships, and that's going to be the biggest fade play for us. The LIV golfers now go from playing, you know, 40 events on the schedule to it's meant to be 14 next season. They're not playing four rounds of golf. It's three rounds of golf with no cut. And when I start paying someone to just show up, when you're not getting paid on performance, where's the incentive to practice and to get better and maintain your game with the best of the best in the world? No, it's absolutely not there. These guys are playing, what, once a month? They're going to come back and play in the majors against these guys on the PGA Tour. I mean, Rory McIlroy, who's playing with a real chip on the shoulder, Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler, who I was talking to earlier in the week. I mean, what a season he's having. And again, amongst those names is Cameron Smith, and he looks like he's very likely to jump ship. But again, you give Cameron Smith $100 million, he's coming off a season where he's won the Players, he's won the Open Championship. Do I really need to win majors anymore? Maybe it's golf. I show up, I have a couple of beers before the tee time, and if I play good, I play good. But again, the standard for me the last couple of years on the PGA Tour has really gone through the roof. And I'll give you some names to watch out for, a couple of young guys to have on the radar. Certainly going into the FedEx Cup playoffs business end here in the major championships, guys to keep an eye out for.
All right. That's exciting. So let's move on and let's talk about tennis here because you are also a tennis guy, correct?
Hey, anything we can bet on, Mox? But yeah, I feel like I'm the other guys. You know that movie? Was it Will Ferrell, the other guys, and Mark Wahlberg? That's Dubsy in terms of sports betting. All these niche sports. If it's horse racing, tennis, a bit of motorsport, soccer, which, you know, back in Australia, we call football as well. It's a real mixed bag, if you will. But yeah, let's get amongst it. And in the tennis space, it's actually thriving as well right now.
All right, let's start with Djokovic. We know that he is not vaccinated, so he's not going to be allowed into the U.S., but he's still listed as the number one favorite in the odds books. Do you think he plays, or do you think maybe there's someone else that we should be betting on?
Oh, Mox, it's a real tough one for me. The U.S. Open coming up later this month at Flushing Meadows. I mean, Djokovic, he has to be there, right? He's coming off a win at Wimbledon, and it's actually big in the GOAT debate, right? We've got Nadal up top with 22, who's now 36 years of age, but the body's done. We don't know when he's going to be back. He looks busted. He pulled out of Wimbledon there in the semifinals. I don't think he's got more than another season to go. So he's up top with 22. Then you've got the Joker at 21. Now, he's 35 years of age, but he looks really fit, in control of his game. And then we've got, of course, the Fed Express back there on 20 Grand Slams. The Fed, I don't think we're going to see until maybe next year for a final swan song at Wimbledon, the all-grass final. But for the US Open, for Djokovic, obviously there's a lot of pressure coming on the government. You've got to let this guy in. But full credit to him, he doesn't want to get the vaccine. For a foreign national, you can't come into the country. So I think they're sticking strong. But again, there's a few weeks to play out here, and the government are chopping and changing, not just with Djokovic, about their mandates for, you know, internationals trying to come into the country. If they relax that side of things, saying that, you know, unvaccinated, there's no difference between vaccinated, maybe Novak comes in. And if he does, despite not playing any lead-up tournaments on the hard court, he is still going to be your odds-on favorite because he is that good in men's tennis. And on men's tennis, I mean, who is the next guy in line? You know, for tennis, we've been talking about Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal the last 15 years. When are these young guys going to step up to the plate and beat the old boys? I mean, you're in a hard court. How do we bet the hard court? It's going to be a power game. It's all about the serve and volley. Come on. Even if Djokovic is there in attendance, you've got to find a way to get past these guys. But I really think, and we see this across all sports mocks, when we go up against the big teams, the Golden State Warriors, we saw in the finals, there's that mental psyche. When you know what your opponent's done and achieved in the past, you're thinking, well, they're just going to be able to pull it out of a hat, and then you start playing with a bit of a negative mindset. So I definitely think the big three in tennis have really left their mark on some of these younger guys. I guess if we're looking for a couple of names to break through, I'm going to throw in Nick Kyrgios. The Aussie madman, he's coming off a double win there last week in Washington. He won the singles. He won the doubles there with Gourmet Kokkinakis. This kid can play. He's an absolute wild card, no pun intended, on the tennis side. He's chirping out spectators. He's fighting with umpires. He's breaking rackets. He's turning around to his players' box with the missus saying, "You guys aren't supporting me loud enough. I can't hear you. Everyone else here is cheering for the other guy. Where are you guys?" But in terms of tennis ability, 27 years of age, he's finally playing with a bit of consistency. But in the tennis, he's still unseeded. Notably, Wimbledon didn't have any world rankings points. So I think he's number 37 in the world. This is a guy who has a very good winning record. He just took down Medvedev, number one in the world, against the top-ranked tennis players in the world. Nick Kyrgios, the big, wild Australian. Maybe it's something about Aussies, Mox. Maybe we're all just a little crazy.
Maybe it's Greg something
Norman,
about Aussies.
Kyrgios and Dubsy. I don't know. The trifecta.
And the shark.
That's it. Big shark. He is the inspo. But yes, certainly can play Nick Kyrgios, and you still get some great value for him on the men's side of the board. He can do damage.
All right. Well, I love that, because I really don't think that Djokovic is going to be let into the country, which means everybody's odds are going to shift. So it's probably a good time to buy into other people before those odds shift. But you touched on the big three here with Djokovic, Nadal, and of course, Federer. We've got Djokovic has 21 Grand Slam titles. Nadal has 22 and Federer has 20. Who will be remembered as the greatest, in your opinion?
Look, I think, you know, in the history books, they're all going to go back to the Grand Slam tallies. And I think Nadal's going to stay on top for a minute. Look, I'll say Djokovic and Nadal will end up splitting it. They'll get to 22 apiece and we're going to walk away and people are going to forget about how good Roger Federer was. I mean, he was the one who really got it going. In a day and age where it's all become about power, I mean, he is the ultimate chess player. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a debate that goes on through the years. They've all done it in a slightly different way, but I think Nadal and Djokovic will end up splitting points at 22 apiece. That's my thoughts.
Do you think we need
some new names?
We do, but let's say Djokovic doesn't get let in, he doesn't come in. Do you think this will affect his legacy, not winning this tournament, which of course he's the favorite to do?
I think it certainly will, Mox. And, you know, there's only so many opportunities, whether it's the golf or the tennis. We measured on the majors and Grand Slams. That's only four a year. What happens if he gets injured next season? He's done. And I mean, one of the Grand Slams is the Australian Open. He was barred from there earlier this year. He's now banned for another 5 years. Are they going to let him back into the country? I don't know. So he's really limiting himself opportunities. I mean, I totally respect anyone can do whatever they want to do, but I really think maybe he'll look back in 10 or 20 years and say, maybe I could have caught Nadal. Maybe I could have got it to 22, 23, because we know Father Time catches up with every athlete. If you're watching Tom Brady, Father Time is coming after you. LeBron James, if you're watching as well, Father Time is coming after you. And Dubsy's a big Laker fan. But certainly on the tennis side of things, I think Djokovic is only going to have so many more opportunities. And look, if he's limited to two Grand Slams a season, that's not so good. And look, he played in the US Open last year. They let him in the country. But this year, not so. Wacky.
Totally wacky. All right, let's switch over to the women's and talk about Serena Williams. So she announced that she's going to retire after the Open, which is sad for all of sports fans. She is the greatest of all time. Her odds right now to win it are at plus 1600. Do you think she has a shot or not? I will say, I watched her in the French Open. I had money on her and she just looked gassed.
Yeah,
like she just really didn't have the stamina in order to do it. So I like Swiatek. I mean, this 23 years old? She's a stud.
Not even. On the ladies' side, I mean, Venus and Serena, they've done it all. I absolutely love Serena Williams. Everything she's done on the court, off the court, fantastic. 23 grand slams to her name. But again, as we saw there recently, Mox, just missing that step, missing a bit of match fitness. And some of these young ladies coming through on the ladies' side of the draw, it's a young game. You know, Emma Raducanu, 19 years of age, Coco Gauff. These girls are ready to play. So I think Serena Williams is definitely just going to be making up the numbers. And again, she didn't officially say she's going to retire. I mean, it's everything but retire, but she's evolving off the court with other avenues away from tennis. So I think it is going to be the final time we see Serena Williams. I think maybe if she's lucky, she can get past the first round or something. But yeah, I guess on the ladies' side of the draw, it's interesting. Ash Barty was the world number one to start the season, wins the Aussie Open. She's still mid-20s and says, I'm done. Deuces. I'm out of here. I'm like, why? If I had that kind of sporting talent, Mox, I would be doing a Tom Brady and milking it for as long as I can. But she said, hey, I've done it at the Grand Slam level. I want to do other things. And we forget that about athletes, right? They also have lives away from being a professional athlete. They've got, you know, husbands, wives, kids, brothers, sisters, mums and dads. So it's not easy. I like that from Ash Barty. But we say, who's coming along next? And it is Iga Świątek. I mean, absolute weapon. She went 37 matches in a row. Didn't get it done there at Wimbledon, insane. But again, she's got to be your firm favorite coming into this one. And I like her. I like her energy off the court. She's really bubbly. Iggy's the one to watch for me. If you're looking for a couple more value plays, probably Emma Raducanu. I like Coco Gauff. Has that power. Again, we're on the hard court. It's going to be one a lot faster points. You need that big diesel, the big surf, if you will. Coco Gauff's the name that stands out to me. What's Iga's at? Plus 220. Coco's at 13-1. Some good. There's probably better value on the ladies' side of the draw. There's always a much better chance of an upset.
I would agree with you there. Okay, let's talk about the English Premier League. It's back. What are some teams that we should be looking out for this season?
Don't get your boys started on the English Premier League, Moxie. This is I got to check myself here. Okay, so the PGA Tour is the best playoffs in the world, bar none. There, I've said it. The best domestic sporting league is the English Premier League. The English football. We'll call it soccer for our American mates out here, but we got underway last week, match week one. We run it back tomorrow. It's real chalky. And why is it real chalky? There's no playoffs in the English Premier League. We have 38 rounds. It's first past the post. So you've really got to reward consistency. And it's going to be a wacky year this year because we've got the World Cup coming up in November. So we play 16 games prior to that. Then we hit it up after the fact. And again, maybe we lean towards the upset here early in the season because some of these big guys, these superstars, I'm not going to say soccer players are soft box. But soccer players are soft. I've said it again. I've said it again.
I've seen them flailing. So yes, nobody can fall like a soccer player can.
They would fit right in here at Hollywood with Dubsy. But hey, the teams to beat: Man City. They won the Premier League last season. Pep Guardiola, one of the best managers in the business. They already had a loaded team, right? They've got Kevin De Bruyne, Jack Grealish. They bring in Erling Haaland, who's going to be the next Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, if you will. He bags his first two goals last Saturday. I mean, when we're talking about leading, you know, Golden Boot, Erling Haaland with Man City is the name to beat. Man City are going to be the team to beat. It's really chalky. They started the season at minus 150. They've blown out to minus 250 already. They're taking on Bournemouth tomorrow in a heads-up matchup, Mox. Bournemouth, 39-1. I said sham. Wow. In a heads-up matchup. When would you ever see that in football? But hey, it's never. Soccer, the Premier League. I guess Liverpool is another big name to watch. If you're looking for a bit more of a value play around the 10-1, 12-1, keep an eye out for Tottenham. Harry Kane, Son, they've got plenty of offense. And again, with the Premier League, know where the team is standing on the ladder as we move throughout the season. Some teams are trying to win the Premier League. Man City, Liverpool. Other teams are playing for a top four. Arsenal, Tottenham, Brighton, Hove and Albion. And of course, the teams who go down, who get relegated, are usually the teams that just came up. So a team like Bournemouth, can they stay in the English Premier League? They need a few good results. But that's why the draw play in soccer is not a bad play because some of these lower-ranked teams are like, let's go into their stadium and let's park the bus. Let's just pass the ball, you know, hog any opportunity, starve them of possession, and maybe we get away with a nil-all draw, pick up a couple of points. So you always got to know the motivation coming in for your team in the English Premier League. But 38 matches, unbelievable sport. The fans over there, they're wild for it, Mox. Some of the best sports fans across the globe, I dare say.
I've always wanted to go to a English Premier soccer game just for all the pomp and circumstance and the songs and everything that they sing. What about like a season prop? Who do you see or who are some of your favorites as the top goal scorer in the English Premier League this season?
Yeah, I'd say Erling Haaland has to be at the very top of your list. There was a lot of question marks. How's he going to adapt to playing English football coming there from Ajax? And I think last Saturday he proved to us that with Kevin De Bruyne funneling him the ball, he's going to be a problem. I think Son, who you can get at 19-1, is a great play in the futures. Again, Tottenham won last week 4-1. Son and Harry Kane didn't even pick up a goal. But again, Son was one of the leaders there last season. I think he picked up, 24 some goals for the season. A lot of punters are going to say, what about Cristiano Ronaldo? That's a guy to stay away from. Manchester United, once a storied team in the English Premier League, not so more, Mox. They are an absolute disaster. They were a dumpster fire last year. Last Saturday, we saw the exact same thing. They bring in a new coach, right? And they're like, Erik ten Hag, he's going to fix the problem. Cristiano Ronaldo said, I don't want to be here. We didn't qualify for the Champions League. Send me somewhere else. I got news for you, pal. No one wants you. Not at that price tag. 37 years of age. He can still score at a high clip. But when we say some of these athletes put on a special jersey, you've got to perform to a certain standard. We see it with the Lakers. You can see it with, you know, wherever Tom Brady's playing. But Manchester United, it's a very special jersey. But right now, they've got 11 guys out on the pitch. They're not made of the right stuff. That's what I'm seeing anyway. So that's going to be the biggest fade play for me. Don't get anywhere near Cristiano Ronaldo. Father Time, he's coming for you as well, Ronaldo. Tom Brady, LeBron James, Cristiano Ronaldo. Who's he not coming for? Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is all good. He's got the pass. He's all right.
He's all right. Well, he's got the injury. He's got to come back from a lot of different injuries that some of these older guys aren't dealing with. Well, Dubsy, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You always bring the energy and the knowledge, and you can catch Dubsy on Sports Grid and also his podcast, Golf Props. Why don't you just tell everyone where to find you on social and your shows?
Yeah, hit your boy up at Mr. Dubsy, Dubs Anderson across all social media platforms. Give me a clean set of ears. I'm going to tell my stories. I don't always let the truth get in the way of a good time, Mox. That is an absolute fact. But yeah, you'll see me popping up on the Sports Grid Network for props. And I got to warn the viewers, the listeners, but hey, Dubsy, he may have had the kid off this week. So you never know what you sign up for. 30 minutes with Dubsy, it can be a scary sight at times, but we're always back in winners, Mox. That is what we're doing. We're in the business of winning. Doubling that money, making a couple of stacks, baking that bread and that cheddar as we go into the weekend.
All right, Dubsy, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Mox. Have a good Friday. Have a weekend.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Moxie Betts is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. All right, the time has come for Mox Locks, and we're going to get a little degen today and bet on some NFL preseason. Now, of course, we know preseason is a crapshoot. You don't know who's playing, how long they're playing, and this is heavily decided on who the starters are going to be. The first game I'm looking at is the Lions versus the Falcons, and I'm taking the Lions, yikes, on the money line. This is a pick 'em game, so both money lines are set to minus 110. We've got the most hyped up team in the Lions. You know, they got the Hard Knocks going on right now. They got Dan Campbell, and probably the least, or the team that has the least expectations, which is going to be the Falcons. Marcus Mariota is supposed to start today at quarterback, at least play about one quarter here. And we know that Dan Campbell has said that his starters are going to be playing. I like the Lions in this one. I've been watching them on Hard Knocks. I like Dan Campbell. I think they really got to get out to a good start here. And I do believe in home field advantage, even if it is just the preseason. So I'm taking the Lions on the money line. All right, next up, I'm looking at the Browns versus the Jags. I'm going to take the under 37.5. This is also at minus 110. Now, 37.5 is the highest total so far for week one games. And it seems a lot of people are on the over on this one because Stefanski has said that he is going to start his starters at least for one quarter tonight. And Deshaun Watson has traveled with the team. Now, whether he plays tonight, we don't really know. But I will say his suspension is only for the regular season games. It does not include preseason. So it's possible possible that we see him play for the first time since, I think, 2020 season, last game of the 2020 season. But even if he doesn't play, you've got Brissett and Dobbs and Rosen, who all need reps and are all capable of winning this game. I do think that Cleveland is the more complete team, and their offense is definitely more potent, even if all of their starters are not in for the entire game. And the Jags defense gave up 20 points in the first half of the Hall of Fame game. So all of this kind of leads towards taking the over. However, on Action Network today, I did read a couple stats. So since the start of the 2004 NFL preseason, unders are 339 to 254 and 11. That's hitting at 57.2% of the time. NFL preseason totals seem to be a little bit overvalued. So I'm going to go with the under on this one and stick with that trend. So to recap, we're getting a little degen today and betting on NFL preseason. Lions money line versus the Falcons at minus 110 and the under for the Browns versus the Jags, 37.5. That's also at minus 110. This was Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Make sure you follow us on social at Moxie Betts or me at Katie Mox on Twitter and at Katie Mox Betts on Instagram. We'll see you next week.